If you have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in a couple of places this morning, one in 2 Timothy and the other one in Acts chapter number 9, and we'll look at the Timothy passage quickly first. We thank the Lord for the privilege to be back here at Holly Springs again. We do not take this door open for granted. This is the 8th time I have started a meeting here, and I'm sure that I have told you everything I know, and probably some things I didn't know I told you, but I count it a great honor to be here this morning. It is in my heart in these 5 services to look at 5 of the 7 times in the Bible that God called a Bible character by his name twice, and I call it the double name calls. I don't know how it was with you, but growing up, if my mom and dad said, John Thomas Gillum, it was not to congratulate me on a job well done. It is so with the Lord. These double name calls usually have a great purpose behind them. But a verse out of 2 Timothy chapter 1 that has been the basis for this study, in verse number 9, Paul told this young preacher, who hath saved E.D. Do not miss that. That's a past action. Took place in the past. Guaranteeing present results. Not a hope-so result. Guaranteeing results. And called E.D. Something happened in the past, guaranteeing there would be something that would happen in the future, has called us with a holy calling. The saved is salvation. The holy calling is sanctification. Not according to our works, not anything you did, but according to his own purpose and grace. So we've got a saved, we've got a called, we've got a holy calling, we've got a purpose, and we've got a grace. Question: where did it happen? He tells us in our text, which was given to us, where? In Christ Jesus. Question: when did he give it to us? Before the world began. The saved, the called, the holy calling, the purpose, the grace happened in Christ before the world began. Please keep that on the back burner as we move from one to the next of these double name calls. I want to begin in Acts chapter number 9 this morning at the call to salvation. I tell you, preacher, I got saved like for me in 1968. Sure enough, saved, called, holy calling, purpose and grace. Where at? In Christ. When? Before the world began. I tell you, you think you got a hold of something little and you shaking it. No, you got a hold of something big and it's shaking you. Acts chapter 9, verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue. If he found any of his way, this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, came near Damascus. It's an interesting place. They're probably fighting there this morning. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, he didn't come to congratulate him. Saul! Saul! Why persecutest thou me? Here there has been a divine call to Saul from the heavens. I believe with all of my heart this morning that salvation is not decision-based. It's not based upon some decision you made, some prayer you prayed. Hell will be full of people that did that. But true biblical salvation begins with a call. I don't believe you can have a call from God and not have a decision or a profession. But I believe you can have a decision or a profession, not have a call, and end up in hell. Saul, Saul. Can I mention as we unpack this text, Saul's prior condition? You can examine your own life if you do have a profession, you do have a decision, if it has been coupled with a call. You can examine your own prior condition. It says in verse number 1, and Saul yet breathing out threatenings. I was interested in that little word, breathing out. It has the idea of an animated inhaling and exhaling. The little word has the idea of one that has a bent towards hell. Do you remember the day that you had a bent towards hell? You were going that way with the hammer down. Bent towards hell. Threatening, it says in our text, and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. You could take or leave God's people. You would rather leave them than take them. Some of you are like that right now. You don't have any desire for God's people. You are not going to be back here tonight. You're not going to be here Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday night because you have no desire for God's people. He had no desire for God's people. Matter of fact, he says here in our text that he was interested in verse 2 in killing those of this way. I thought it was interesting. I was reading a little article this week when Hamas started their slaughter on Israel last Saturday. They made this statement. They said, we'll kill the people that worship on Saturday, and then we'll go after the people that worship on Sunday. That's the way Paul was. He could take or leave God's people. I'm talking about his breathing out. But I notice his binding up. Paul come riding into Damascus thinking he was the chief of sinners. No. He thought he was the chief of saints. He thought he was a good old boy until he met Jesus. Then he realized he was the chief of sinners. The more I seek to draw nearer to Christ, the more wicked I find myself to be. God only seeks and draws sinners. If you're here this morning and it is your testimony that when God saved you, you were a good person, will you make yourself a note? God has never saved you. God doesn't save any good people. He sends all good people to hell.
The only people that God saves is sinners, and he gets them all off the bottom. See, that's when it is connected with a call. It's not some profession or decision you make. But when the call comes, you realize how wicked you really are. Prior to your salvation, did you really realize that you were a wicked sinner? John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace, before he died, had a bad case of dementia, couldn't remember much. Somebody asked him one day, said, John, do you remember anything about the past much? And he says, about the only thing I can remember is that I was a great sinner and I was found by a great Savior. I wonder if that is your testimony this morning. I thought maybe we'd start over here this morning. We'll go to the back and then cross over and come back down, go over here and cross. Maybe you'd stand. I don't want you to tell me about when you got saved. Everybody's got one of them stories. I want you to tell me about when you were lost and God hung you out over hell. Don't look at these doors to go to the bathroom. I ain't going to do it. Oh, some of you were shocked. You was already shaking. You better have a lost story. You have no lost story. You have no saved story. Could I notice not only the prior condition, could I mention the perceptive condition? There was a revelation of who Christ is. The Bible says in verse number 3, and suddenly, salvation usually comes to the sinner suddenly. There might be some of you here this morning, you sitting here minding your own business like I was in 1968, sitting on the back row of a Baptist church in Chesapeake, Virginia. Suddenly, I realize I'm going to hell. Suddenly, there is a light shone round about him. He told of this testimony in Corinthians. He says, but God commanded the light to shine out of darkness and has shone in my heart, giving the knowledge of the glory of God. It is the same as a creation story. Paul said there on the road to Damascus, God stepped inside of me and said, let there be light. And there was light. I look at some of you sometimes when I preach, and I can tell you're at home with the lights ain't on. I can see it in your eyes. You listening to me? It's that far away look. About what in the world is he talking about? Lights never been turned on. He says in verse number 4 that he heard a voice. I was interested in that little word, voice. It is a little Greek word, phonia. Phonia. We get our little word, phonics, from it. A sound. In the book of Genesis, God was the first one to ever make a sound. I, being one who was taught to read by pictures, cannot spell. If I had been taught to read phonetically, I would be a better speller. Are you listening to me? He is the first sound. That sound became words. Those words became sentences. Those sentences became paragraphs. Those paragraphs became stories. Those stories became books. Those books became libraries. He is the incarnate word. He is all that we need. And Paul heard that voice. He says to him in verse number 5, he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am. Oh, and he made that little statement. I'm sure Paul in his mind went running back to Moses' burning bush, there was a phonia, a voice come out of the bush saying that I am God. He says in verse number 6, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He calls him Lord, Master, Sovereign One. Your salvation, your profession, your decision, if it is connected with a call, you have made him Lord. You're under a new control now. You're no longer running your show. You cannot make your own decisions. You cannot decide where you're going to work. You cannot decide where you're going to go to school. You cannot decide what you're going to do with your money. You can't decide where you're going to live. You must find out from him. Because he's your boss. Revelation, who Christ is. But I noticed there was a revelation of who we are. He says in verse 6, and he trembling and astonished. That little word trembling means to quake with sudden terror, astonished, to be extremely shaken. But did you notice something that he did? As I preach all over the country that the majority of Baptists don't do, he bowed his will. Lord, do you see what Paul told him on the road to Damascus? Lord, I'm going to do what I want to do. I've got a free will. You can mark this morning, if your profession and your decision has been connected to a divine call from God, you will set aside your stinking free will. And you will leave it set aside for the rest of your life. You won't want to make no decisions. You'll constantly come back, Lord, what will you have me do? Are you listening to me? Oh, there's a realization of who we are. I notice in this call to salvation, Saul. There's a prior condition. There's a perceptive condition. But I notice there is a personal call. I notice that it is pointed. He doesn't speak to everybody in Saul's entourage. Oh, no. Saul, do not pinch me and wake me up. Let's go back to our 2 Timothy 1:9. Called, saved, holy calling, purpose, grace. In Christ before the world began. The only thing I can understand is that before the world began, God stepped out and said, Saul! And it has been coming down the galaxies of ages, and it has purposefully now landed on its target. On the road to Damascus. Matter of fact, I'm crazy enough to believe that before the world began, he stepped out and said, Tom! And it has been coming down through the world of ages and all the galaxies of the universe and landed upon my heart in 1968 and lit me up inside. I was wondering this morning, you got anything like that? There was a call. It was a pointed call. I notice over this call, he could hear Jesus speak. This light, it blinded him. If you've got your Bible, just for a second, Acts chapter 22. We'll go right back to our text quickly. Paul made this testimony later. He says, and they that were with me saw indeed the light. Sure enough. What'd y'all think about it? Oh, it's just a light. Hey, Paul, what did you think about it? Took my eyesight away. I couldn't see nothing. All I could see is eternal things. I couldn't see nothing temporal. But the crowd that was with him, They couldn't see anything. Just the light. Watch this. And they were afraid, but they, what? Time out. Hold on. You didn't hear that voice. Uh-uh. You hear nothing. You know how come? No ears to hear. When that call came to Paul's heart, not only did he light him up inside, he gave him ears to hear. I was wondering this morning, not being nosy, God forbid I stick my nose in your business. Can you look back in history at the first time you really was conscious that God talked to you? You say, preacher, ain't God ain't never talked to me. Would you make yourself a note? I'm going to hell when this is over with. Gave him ears to hear. But I noticed back in our text in chapter number 9, not only was it pointed, it was a pressing call. He says, who art thou, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I was interested in that word pricks. It's a cattle goad. Goad cows so that they'll go in the right direction. If God has ever extended a call to you that began in Christ before the world began, it will be accompanied with a goad to make sure you go in the direction that he wants you to go. I heard a singer some years ago, she stood up and she said that God was a gentleman. He wouldn't make you do anything you don't want to do. I turned to her and I asked her, I said, you reckon Jonah thought he was a gentleman? Paul has probably been knocked off of his high horse. He's blind. Do you think he thinks Jesus is a gentleman? No. Jesus is making sure that the call that has been extended in eternity past will accomplish what it has been sent to do. I love the hound out of that, don't you? Oh. All conversions are accompanied with a Holy Ghost goad to press you in the direction that you ought to go. I'm glad of that this morning. I hear people all the time say, oh, I tell you, I wish I'd have got saved when I was younger. You couldn't. Call hadn't got there yet. You can't get saved till the call comes. Are you listening to me? You can pick the telephone up all you want to and hope it'll ring. If it ain't ringing, ain't nobody going to be on the other end. You make all the professions you want to, pray all the sinner prayer you want to, but if it's not accompanied by a call. I noticed in the text, not only was there a prior condition, perceptive condition, a personal call, there was a prayerful communication. He says in verse number 8, and Saul arose from the earth. When his eyes were open, he saw no man. They led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days and 3 nights without sight. Paul, Saul of Tarsus, has lost his earthly sight. The things of this earth have grown strangely dim to him. But his eternal sight has become 20/20. You that claim to be saved this morning, can you remember a time when your earthly sight, your love for the things of this world began to be dim? And you began to have 20/20 eternal sight. There is an earthly eye failure. But I notice there is an eternal eye focused. What in the world is that blind Jew doing? Down verse number 11, The Lord said unto Ananias, he wants Ananias to go down there and get him. He says, go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for he's down there making plans to kill some more Christians. No. Behold, he prayeth. He's fine-tuning his eternal sight. Is that what happened to you? You that claim to have been saved, has there been a radical change in you now? Find yourself, this world has not got its glimmer to you anymore. You're fine-tuning an eternal sight. I close with this thought, talking about Saul, call to salvation. Involved a prior condition. Perceptive condition, a personal call, a prayerful communication, but a powerful change. He's a changed vessel. He says in verse 15, tells Ananias to go down there and tell him, go thy way, for I'm glad you made a decision to follow me. It doesn't even say that in the Living Bible. He says he is a chosen vessel. Paul will later on tell us where that happened, when that happened. Where in Christ, when, before the world began. He's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentile and the kings of the children of Israel, for he will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. He accompanies it in this text of this changed vessel. He says not only is he going to believe because he's been chosen, but he's going to suffer. He'll later write that in Philippians 1:29. Not only has he given me the gift to believe, but he has given me the gift to suffer for his name's sake. And oh gracious, did he ever suffer. He was rotted twice, stoned once, five times, 40 stripes save one, three times he was shipwrecked. All kinds of suffering. What in the world got you through that, Paul? He said, I knew that before the world began, Jesus stepped out on the edge of nothing and said, Saul, He says it came down through all those universes of time. And he said it hit and gave me ears to hear it on the road to Damascus. I tell you, if you've got a call from God, you can take on hell with a water pistol. Huh? Nothing's going to stop you. There is a changed vessel. I notice there's a changed vision. He says in verse 18, and immediately they'll fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and baptized. When he had received, what you going to eat, Paul? I tell you, I need some meat. I don't want no milk. I want some meat. You know that meat is the deeper things of God. He wants this book. You that claim that your decision saved you, did it fine-tune you to see that this world is passing away and you want an eternal vision well-tuned? Has it given you an insatiable appetite for this book? If you have no appetite for this book, I don't care what you prayed, don't care what you got dumped in, don't care what you joined, you ain't got nothing. Because if there has been an eternal call from heaven, he will give you an insatiable appetite for this book. You listening to me? I was thinking about that again this week. I've told this here before. What would you do if you got to the marriage supper of the Lamb and they set you down beside Jeremiah and he turned to you and said, what'd you think about my book? And you had to say, what book? That's if you get there. You listening to me? I was reading an article by John MacArthur not long ago. He said he had a real good friend that collected old Bibles. Talking about if God has saved you. Give you an insatiable appetite for this book. John said that he had been over to see him that day. And he said he let me hold a Bible from the 1600s. John said he let me open it. John says while I was looking at it, he says I noticed about almost every page in it, half of the top of the page had a faint red color. So I asked him, he said, what is that? He said, oh, John. He said, that's a martyr's Bible. He said, when Bloody Mary was cutting her heads off, she'd have the soldiers stick their Bibles in blood before they chunked them. He's holding a Bible. Somebody's blood's been spattered all across it. Old John asked him, he said, you know, he says, I notice there's all kind of little specks almost on every page along the edge and across the Bible. He said, what is all those specks? He said, old John, he said, that's teardrops. He said, those people cried their way through their Bible. Are you listening to me this morning? That's people who had a divine call from heaven, and it gave them desire to lose their vision of this world, fine-tune their vision for the world to come, and gave them an insatiable appetite for the Word of God. And as the Scripture says here, that Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost. Not only will you have a desire to pray, fine-tune yourself eternally, you'll have a love for the Word of God, and you'll have a desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost if the call and the decision are connected. Spurgeon said, some often come to me, say, preacher, I cannot be saved. I'm too bad of a sinner. He said, they're expecting me to say, oh, you never get too bad for God to save. He says, they're shocked at my answer. He says, I always tell them, he says, oh, you're much worse than what you think. See, if you think you're too bad for God to save this morning, you're much worse than what you think. But as the choir sung to us this morning, he's still the lifter. Old Napoleon once said, I have a dirt-filled heart. Wherever death finds you this morning, eternity will keep you. Death finds you lost this morning, eternity will keep you. Has there been a call connected with your decision this morning that has given you spiritual eyes to look away from the glimmer of this world and fine-tune it for eternity? Is it giving you a great desire and an appetite for the Word of God and to be filled with the Holy Ghost? The songwriter said it well when he said, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Amen. Calling for you, calling for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching for you, watching for me. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised. Promised for you, promised for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you, pardon for me. Why should you tarry when Jesus is pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercy? Mercy's for you. Mercy's for me. Come home. Come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, old sinner. come home. Have you come in here this morning minding your own business? For some strange reason, you can't explain it. Seems like a light has come on in your soul. And you can hear better spiritually than you've ever heard. It would be wonderful to connect with that divine call, a bowing of your knee and your will, and say, Lord, what will you have me to do? We're standing, our heads are bowed, preachers are coming.